This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Massacre last night in New Orleans. The Eagles destroy the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. Game not as close as the final score would indicate. It was 40-6 at one point in the fourth quarter. This was beginning to end decimation. Even the first drive of the game for the Eagles was short-circuited by a controversial offensive pass interference call on A.J. Brown, where I think America felt like, well, here we go again. This is the cheat Pete is coming here. The Chiefs are going to get the advantage of all the calls. As it turned out, they really didn't. I don't think the referees were a factor at all in this game. If anything, that call was made up for. But what I
that call was an accurate call, too. When they finally showed the replay where A.J. Brown actually grabbed the defender's face mask and torqued it, that's understandable.
Yeah, and then there was a call that went the Eagles' way on an unnecessary roughness penalty on Trent McDuffie that was borderline. He hit Dallas Goedert after an incomplete pass that kept a drive alive. There was another Nick Bolton hit, a late hit on Saquon Barkley after the whistle that turned a second and 26 into a first and 10 for the Eagles. But here's where I was going with this, Seth, is that at least on the first two calls, even after the replay of the one where A.J. Brown caught a bit of the face mask on the defender, Tom Brady very critical of both of those calls early in the game, one that went in favor of the Chiefs and one that went in favor of the Eagles. And that was one of the things that when they made this exception here to let him, you know, be on commentary while owning a part of the Raiders. And by the way, from what it sounds like, being a fairly active owner with the Raiders, not like a, you know, in the background, like he's having input on things. He was highly critical of the refs, which I thought was great. Like he's serving his audience to be critical of the refs. I do wonder how long the league allows, as defensive as the league gets with criticism of the officials, like how long they allow for Brady to function as an announcer the way he functioned last night.
Right. You know what the one thing last night that I thought was curious, which doesn't involve Brady directly, it was an Eagles running back. I can't remember if it was Saquon Barkley or not. It looked like a horse collar out of
Gainwell.
Bounds.
It was Gainwell.
It was Gainwell, that's right. And it looked like a horse collar, and he thought it was too.
Yep.
And then I'm like, all right, guys, show the replay here. I wonder if the Fox broadcast made a decision like, I don't know. I wanted to see whether it was a horse collar or not.
Yeah.
That's another one of those ones that kind of like a face mask. I feel like you should be able to make a call. If it's something like that, especially if it's a safety issue, that you should be able to make a call from the booth review or something.
Yeah.
But, as far as Brady, I thought, like last night, I don't know. There's a difference between criticizing the officials and disagreeing with a call. Okay. And I think last night I felt like he was disagreeing with calls.
Okay.
And that's different. I don't think they ever expect the announcers not to disagree with calls. They just don't want you to go all in and say that, you know, that was a horrible call by the official or whatever. There's a maybe a tone that's involved with
right,
it, and
right.
it's probably a bit of a gray area.
Or at some point, maybe in the second half, you're just making general statements about the overall officiating of that game. Like,
yeah.
this officiating crew is not doing well tonight, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, then they get more sensitive about that.
Yeah, yeah. I think
what was the other one? Well, the one that I thought Brady was went a little bit. Sometimes I do think sometimes the quarterbacks, especially when they're in the booth, they don't want to be perceived as the guy that thinks the quarterback deserves all these protections. Like Aikman, he might be the most bloodthirsty common play-by-play guy there is.
Oh, yeah.
He criticizes every roughing call, it seems like.
Yeah.
But the one last night, that late hit, by the Chiefs. Like, yeah, that was a late hit. It was like four steps late on the receiver.
Yep.
And Brady criticized that a little bit at first, and then they watched it a couple more times, and he understood why it should have been a call.
Well, that was so huge, too. I mean, he's second and 26. You're trying to get any semblance of momentum that you can
yeah.
if you're the Chiefs, and Nick Bolton does that, and I thought Spagnuolo was going to have an aneurysm on the sidelines.
Yeah, at first I couldn't tell whether Spagnuolo was mad at the officials or at Bolden, and it looked like he was mad at Bolden.
Yeah.
It was just a dumb play by him.
Yeah, it was just a dumb play. You got to
well,
know.
Well, that was, you know, you brought up earlier how, okay, they're both well-coached teams. That was one play where I felt like, man, the Chiefs, at times last night, looked like the team that wasn't ready to play in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, but look, hey, DeAndre Hopkins has never been in a Super Bowl before. He stumbles and lets a ball carom off his left hand. Very non-DeAndre Hopkins type behavior.
Yeah.
There were parts last night where I felt like the Chiefs looked like the greener football team than the Eagles.
Speaking of Hopkins and speaking of the officials, we'll get to a few other observations here in a second. This was DeAndre Hopkins. I think you and I both agree. I don't think the officials were a major factor in the game. Do you? I thought it was officiated game, right?
Yeah.
Here was DeAndre Hopkins.
I'll say there were a couple moments that could have been worse, like the offsides that turned into a false start for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Offsides by the Chiefs. A couple of those, like if the Eagles had missed the field goal after that, there were moments where it could have gotten uglier. But by and large, there weren't that many flags in general.
No, there weren't. Where the long snapper got called for the false start. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. They still made the field goal. Barely. But they still made the field goal. Yeah, and in a game that ends up being 40-6 early in the fourth quarter, it's hard to blame anything on officiating at that point. That didn't stop DeAndre Hopkins after the game. Here was DeAndre Hopkins, former Houston Texan, following last night's Chiefs loss.
You know, I saw a lot of things in the media about the refs, but obviously what y'all going to say now about the refs and us when there was a lot of touchy calls? Are y'all going to report that? Are y'all going to talk about the refs now?
No, because there's nothing to report. No.
You guys got destroyed.
This is...
Did you see your quarterback getting destroyed, but because the offensive line was getting destroyed? Did you understand that part of it? Were the officials complicit in that?
That's,
my God.
That's disappointing, because DeAndre Hopkins is not a dumb guy. Like, he's a smart person. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard anybody say in a press conference right there. You lost 40-22 in a game that you were, honestly, from midway through the second quarter on, the game was never close. It was 34-0 at one point. It was 40-6 at one point. DeAndre, scored one of them. You scored a couple trash touchdowns at the end of the game to make it look closer than it was, and you're blaming the officials? What the hell?
I think that might be a result of, I'm guessing, if you're a Chiefs player, it would be impossible to not maybe think a little bit about snarky stuff you'd like to say after a victory about the officiating. And DeAndre might just, he might not have been able to pivot off of the circumstances. There were probably a bunch of them that were probably ready to, like, oh, yeah, take that. Who cares about your affiliate? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what it's part and parcel of is DeAndre's just, he's on social media a little too much. He's got rabbit ears. He does. He's got rabbit ears. And he's been hearing all the stuff that's been frustrating a lot of Chiefs players, that there's plenty of fans out there that are attributing their entire dominant run here over the last couple of years to officiating, which is silly. Have they gotten the benefit of some 50-50 calls at really crucial times? Yes. Does that diminish their greatness as a dynasty? Not in my mind, and honestly, not in a lot of people's minds, but I think that's DeAndre listening to the loud minority on social media making all the jokes about the refs, probably seeing some pictures and some memes of the officials stretching out before the game, saying Chiefs warming up before the game. Yeah. And he's taking it personally there.
The one of the big booth reviews that was pretty clear cut was it the Devontae Smith first? It was called a touchdown.
It was Jahan Dotson.
That's right. Yeah. It was Dotson. And it was on. It was pretty clear that he didn't actually make it in. Like that was a moment where I was like, I'm glad that wasn't any closer than that. I just want to enjoy a bludgeoning without there being any kind of. I'm glad that the Eagles scored after that. Like that was a classic moment where. Yes, that's a standard booth review.
Yeah.
I mean, they review all scores anyway.
Yeah.
And it just I didn't need it to be millimeters, okay?
Well, you know,
I just don't have it. I need to take a break from all of this for a while.
It was obvious. And you know who was glad that they turned that call, that they flipped that call? People like me who had under on the jersey number of the first person to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. I had under 15.5. And so that went
the jersey number would be 15 or less.
15 or less, yeah. And so it was originally Dotson, number 83 for the Eagles. I would have lost that bet. But instead, they tush-pushed Jalen Hurts, old number one, into the end zone.
I'm surprised Jalen Hurts doesn't have a Dude Wipes endorsement. If you're one of the guys responsible for actually pushing them from behind there.
Yeah.
You want to be sure you're not, you know, sacrificing more than a football player should sacrifice.
Or every center, you know, or like the most famous centers should have a Dude Wipe.
Every single center. Remember John Wade, the center for the Bucks? They would talk about how sweaty he was all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was hard for the quarterbacks because he was sweating so much. I know John Wade. I don't think it was his favorite thing that they had to talk about on broadcast after broadcast.
Remember Michael Dieter last year had to change jerseys multiple times during games?
Yeah.
Because of the sweat.
Because CJ was having a hard time gripping the ball.
Last night, speaking of Hurts.
They should do that at the combine.
Oh,
they should put you on a treadmill.
Measure the sweat.
And have you go for 20 minutes, get up to max heart rate, and just see how much butt sweat you've got.
That's right. Can you imagine your butt sweat affecting your draft stock? Whose stock was more affected last night, do you think? Hurts to the positive or Mahomes to the negative?
I think Hurts to the positive.
I think so, too.
I mean, ultimately, Mahomes has the pelts on the wall. Now, when it comes to greatest of all time discussions, that's where I think everybody can step back and say, all right, like it's not as simple as because he's won three already before the age of 30 that he's going to win six more if he plays until he's 40.
Yep.
It's a little bit tougher than that.
I think it matters that they've gotten and Mahomes has gotten his ass kicked in the two Super Bowl losses, especially when one of them was to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, head to head.
Yeah, when Brady lost the Super Bowl, he made a game of it at least.
Always.
Where Mahomes just kind of packs it in.
He lost two close Super Bowls to the Giants. And granted, those were both upsets. One was a monumental upset. So some would say maybe, okay, well, he has a close game, but they were two touchdown favorites in one of those games and like a field goal favorite in the other. And then in the other Super Bowl, they didn't lose it because of Brady. Brady threw for 500 yards against the Philadelphia Eagles. They lost it because Matt Patricia's defense couldn't shut down Nick Foles, of all people.
The only thing that scares me about the Chiefs right now is that Xavier Worthy is just a rookie, and that he's gonna get better. You know, so he wasn't Tyreek Hill this year, but he could develop into that type of a weapon.
Yep.
That's the part that you gotta remember. All right, and if they figure out the offensive line a little bit, then the offensive line stays healthy, then that's a whole different scenario.
They're the favorites. The odds have come out this morning on winning next year's Super Bowl, and the Ravens and the Chiefs are both plus 650, 6.5 to 1 essentially. And then the next three teams are all 7 to 1. It's the Eagles, the Lions, and the Bills. They only showed the top five, so I don't know where the Texans. If I had to guess, I would say the Texans are probably somewhere around 15 to 1, somewhere in there. You know, probably top 10 or 12, but not in the top five. Text message: people hated the Patriots, but it was definitely for different reasons than they hate the Chiefs. And you can see it with how maniacal Brady and Belichick were with winning at all costs. A different type of hate with that than just hating a bunch of pretty boys having everything lined up in their favor continually.
Yeah. So is that just, he's just describing the difference in the Chiefs' hatred?
Here's how I interpret that text.
I don't know. Like, it didn't seem like he thought one was better or worse than the other.
We hated the Patriots because they win all the time, but at least they were blue collar.
Yeah.
I hate the Chiefs because they're pretty boys who the refs are in their pocket.
You know? I guess because in my mind I went to the Spygate and everything, and then Deflategate with the. I think there was an element with the Patriots where people felt like Belichick himself was just a dirty dog. Yeah. And I know that people around the league didn't like Belichick and just kind of looked at him side-eyed. This is why it was probably one of the reasons it was a little bit tougher for him to get any interest at all from NFL teams.
Definitely.
People do hate you still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a different type of hate for sure. Yeah, with the Chiefs, aside from if you take any of the gambling theories or anything out of it, or the officiating theories out of it, it does feel like it's a little bit more of the classic, like, yeah, I just don't like the captain of the football team.
Yeah.
He's like the movie version of the captain of the football team, and I don't like him because of it. He probably bullies people.
Yep.
Yeah, they got a nice glossy exterior and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm sick and tired of this guy.
I wonder what happens to Travis Kelce now. I mean, it's in play that he may retire here. There was a lot of thought that if they win this game, he might retire.
You pointed out that meme that was floating around yesterday, a bunch of them, of when he was yelling at Andy Reid last season when he shoved him, when he assaulted an elderly man.
Correct.
The caption was, I was supposed to propose to Taylor after this.
Yeah, it was really funny. Has anybody heard from Nick Wright? No, we played an impersonation of Nick Wright earlier. Nick was on social media last night. He was snarky when they were down 10-0, and he said, well, now is where the game begins for the Chiefs because they need to get down 10-0 before they go win a Super Bowl. And then he didn't tweet for the rest of the game until after the game was over, and you could tell like he was very devastated by the fact that they went out there and had – I would say by far, that might have been not just their worst playoff game. That was probably their worst game of the Mahomes era. Without having an intimate knowledge of how the last 7 years have looked, they haven't lost many games. Given the stage, I mean, it had to be the worst. You know, not just in terms of the lopsidedness of it, but just the stage you were on.
I think Nick might be in mourning right now because for a guy who's really active on social media, he's got one tweet after the game.
Yep.
And then he's got one tweet this morning.
That's it.
Yeah.
Man. Well, people are going to tune in. Maybe they don't want to give up too much, you know?
After the game last night, he said, well, for the first time in three glorious years, there were some doubts. Credit to the Eagles for one of the single most impressive start-to-finish Super Bowls of all time. KC, on the doorstep of history, played its worst game in 5 years. Devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty beat up last night, Nick was. That first half might have been the closest equivalent to like pitching a perfect game. You know, like it was for one half, but they kept doing it. I mean, the Chiefs only eventually scored once they were down by five scores. This was up until the garbage time. This was as close to a perfect Super Bowl that I've seen a team play. Mahomes was 6 of 14 for 33 yards with two just devastating picks. You couldn't have two more. If we're rating the impact of interceptions, a pick six and then one inside your own 20-yard line is as bad as it gets. He had a 10.7 passer rating. They generated one first down the whole first half, and it was on their very first play from scrimmage. The little pass to Juju Smith-Schuster, they got 11 yards on their first play. They didn't have a first down for the rest of the half. They were outgained 179-23 in the first half, the Chiefs were.
Disgusting. And that's with Saquon Barkley not doing much in the first half as well.
Yep.
The one thing I would disagree with Nick on that tweet is he said for the first time in 3 years there were some doubts. It's not like the previous two Super Bowl victories were emphatic dominations. Those were close games.
No, and I read that exact tweet you did, and I wondered what did he mean by that. And here's what I think he may have meant is that there were some doubts about the Chiefs because of how many close games they'd played all year.
Yeah,
you know that maybe they were
the going more, into it. Yeah. It was more foreseeable, perhaps.
Yeah.
Nobody. I certainly didn't foresee an absolute bludgeoning.
No.
I fantasized about it.
Oh yeah.
I had people, all these people in the media telling us that we were bad people if we didn't just appreciate the greatness of three Super Bowl champions. I told you earlier, it annoyed me the way it annoyed me when USC played Texas in the national championship game. Yeah. In that week, all the discussion was whether or not USC was the best college football team in history.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, they haven't won the national championship yet.
No.
What on earth are you talking about?
Yeah, it's
and it gets to the point where you're like, you know, I was a Longhorn fan by the end of the game.
Yep.
Or by the time the game arrived.
That's
because
right.
I was so disgusted with the way people were just putting the cart before the horse.
I'm with you on that. All right, let's circle back to the Texans for a little bit. Look, that's the standard you're trying to play to is to the overall standard those two teams last night played to. Nico Collins was making the rounds on Radio Row. What does he know about Nick Caley? How excited is he about getting into a new offense with Nick Caley? We will hear from Nico Collins coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Nico Collins was kind of like the C.J. Stroud of this year's Radio Row. He was making the rounds. Nico was there, Will Anderson making the rounds. No C.J. Stroud to be found on Radio Row this year, which is just the latest in a series of decisions he's making to focus, you know, more on the football than on the marketing side.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Which is
and
fine.
I saw somebody frame this as you and I being grumpy old men that don't want CJ to do anything media-wise or anything that I felt was unfair. From what I feel like we have a pretty nuanced feel about all this. It's that CJ himself has basically expressed that he didn't really know what he was getting into this year.
Yeah.
That like the challenges that it takes when you've got that target on your back and you are the franchise quarterback and it's not just, hey, you're springing out into the league as a rookie. I feel like it's CJ's probable goal to be a little bit less visible this offseason. So when I see him consciously perhaps step away from the limelight a little bit, I look at it as, okay, yeah, this is what CJ, seems like that's what CJ wants to do, is that he wants to refocus, rededicate. He's learned some hard lessons about just how hard it can be.
Yeah.
And that whenever I see him not do something, it's not that I think he should never go on a podcast again or anything like that. It's just that you don't have to partake of all of the like just limitless adulation that will be thrown your way when you're a star quarterback in the NFL.
The biggest thing I took issue with last year with CJ was not doing all these interviews or playing in the softball game, celebrity softball game, or playing in the NBA All-Star celebrity game. It would be hypocritical of me to go back and to revise history and say I was angry with these things. I was not. I was excited about them because it means that we have a quarterback here who's worthy of playing in games like that and playing in and participating in events like that. The one thing that he did last year that made me bristle a little bit or kind of cringe a little bit was when he was asked to name his top five quarterbacks and he was number three on the list of the top five quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That was, and I think he knows that now. Like I think that was indicative of a mentality where maybe things came slightly too easy to him, or he thought it would be this way going into the year.
Yeah, and I think part of it too is just that there were things beyond CJ's control that made him realize how hard it is. That for one, okay, maybe you don't have the best offensive coordinator, for one. But that also, man, if you can only be as so good as your offensive line. You look at Pat Mahomes last night, and man, Pat Mahomes was, his offensive line was not doing a damn thing for him.
No.
And it's amazing how mortal you can look when you're getting shelled once every two times you drop back to pass the football.
He underestimated how interdependent it is. You know, how much... how you perform is tied to how others around you perform, maybe.
And I don't know, because I don't know if it's fair to say he underestimated it. I guess it's just like the reality of how things can turn bad so quickly.
Yeah.
And that every single year, you do really have to reinvent yourself as a team. That it's you can't be thinking about, hey, look, think about all this brilliant stuff we're going to be able to do with these three wide receivers if you haven't gotten the really simple things taken care of first.
Yep.
And the Texans last year on the offensive side of the ball did not have any of the simple things taken care of early in the year.
No. So hopefully it's different this year. Here was Nico Collins on the NFL Network on Radio Row with thoughts on moving from Bobby Slowick to Nick Caley as the OC here?
I don't know much about Nick Caley, but I know from his previous years at the Rams, you know, they had a great offense, explosive offense, you know, just watching Puka, Kupp just go crazy, you know, just watching guys run around the field, make plays. So I'm assuming, man, you know, it's going to be the same way when he comes. You know, I can't wait to meet him. You know, so it's going to be a great year for us, you know, new OC. But I feel like we got the same guys, same mindset, you know, coming ready to work. You know, can't wait to meet him, get ready for OTAs, learn the playbook, you know, and get going.
I'm very anxious to see what they put around Nico in that wide receiver room. You know, Diggs is going to be a free agent. His contract voids a week from today. If they're going to extend Stephon Diggs without taking a big cap hit, they need to do it in the next 7 days. That's the way that his contract works. Tank Dell, I'm not counting on for next year. And then, you know, Robert Woods, I think, is a free agent. You've got, you know, Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson have not done enough yet to where I feel like, well, they'll step right into that breach and be the numbers 2 and 3 wide receivers. Dan Graziano on ESPN this week, Seth, in his, like, kind of notebook from the Super Bowl, had a paragraph in there about the Texans. And he was saying, I'll be anxious to see what they do at receiver with the Texans. Do they do something like the Bills did where it's just a bunch of, like, guys that can get open, but they're in very specific roles and maybe a little more blue-collar guys. Like, Mac Hollins is a good example with the Bills, had a really good year.
Yeah.
Who's also a free agent. You know, is it Nico and all the Nicoettes, or do they actually make an effort to go out and find, find somebody that's on his level?
That's the interesting thing about how you approach a draft and how, like, the way we talk about what the Texans' needs are in the draft right now, it changes drastically after free agency a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Right. So if Stephon Diggs isn't on the team, I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and they find maybe a wide receiver who's not a marquee guy, but a guy who's a good solid pro, or maybe he has upside, but then they also draft a wide receiver.
Yes.
I mean, it is really right now. It's Nico and then nothing that you can rely on for 2025.
Huge need.
You know, John Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson did some nice things this year, but they're not difference makers as of yet, and I just don't know how high their upside is. It just from an athletic standpoint alone, there's not a lot that's threatening about them.
No, they don't. So, they don't get open.
Yeah, so I think that I would expect them to either A, if they re-sign Stephon Diggs, then I think they still could go after a wide receiver at number 25.
Yeah.
I think they address it in free agency and in the draft.
Yep.
And with I would say better than a 50% chance right now that one of the first two rounds will be a wide receiver.
I agree with that. Text message. The Chiefs lost that Super Bowl because of that stupid-ass outfit that Kelce showed up in. All I could think about as they were getting their asses kicked is you got to fight for your right. So did he have on, walking into the stadium, the same outfit he had? The outfit he had on at his locker was like a glittery Chiefs-colored button-down shirt.
Kelce?
Yeah, not Mahomes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Mahomes' Kelly Green suit that
yeah.
he wore in.
Yeah.
Kelce, I wouldn't imagine. I would imagine he probably wears something funky for a lot of them. So,
yeah.
I'm not big on the pregame, the Instagram fit photos. Yeah.
No, me neither. But I do think Mahomes showing up in a green suit was very noteworthy.
Yeah, noteworthy and planned that way. I don't think it was just happenstance.
No.
It's like, oh, that's the one in the rotation.
No,
yeah.
No, but you look a little stupid walking out in that suit if you got beat 40-22.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah, then it looks like you're kneeling down to your new king.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're not going to assassinate me, right? As long as I'm wearing this green suit.
It is funny, like, that texter sends that in, and I'm like, I'm watching Kelce do the session at his locker, and he was very good. Like, he was not DeAndre Hopkins ref blaming. Like, he was very contrite and talking about, like, no, they beat us, you know, whatnot. But he was wearing a shirt, like, it was very shiny and glittery and whatnot. And as I'm watching him do this session in front of his locker, I'm like, man, you looked way cooler walking into the stadium in that shirt than you do walking out having gotten your ass kicked by 3 touchdowns. You know?
Yeah, I think, and that's why it's one of the reasons it's so hard to win 3 Super Bowls in a row. It's impossible to not let a little bit of complacency or any kind of, if you have a sense of destiny about your team,
yeah.
that's where I feel like it's a recipe for disaster. And I just, I didn't, I don't know. I don't want to read too much into stuff like this, but I just expected to hear more downplaying of the three-peat by the Chiefs players in the lead up to the Super Bowl. Now, maybe that's just, those aren't the sound bites that are going to get played a lot. It's not like I listened to the entire press conferences of all those guys in the entirety, but, it's for a team that was so good in close games this year.
Yeah.
It just does. Maybe it's hindsight, but it just feels like there was a little bit of complacency about how good the Eagles were. I don't know if they genuinely, it was almost like it was them versus, it was the Chiefs versus themselves and their legacy more so than it was, oh crap, we got a really good opponent we're facing this week.
I think it's a good assessment of it. Which team or teams in the AFC maybe feel different about next season based on what they saw last night? We'll run through that. We'll talk to Reggie and John and find out what they've got planned. I would imagine a ton of Super Bowl talk here on their show today as well. Also, a quick reminder that the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is going on right now. If you win, you and three friends will be headed to Vegas to stay at Circa, which is an amazing sports book. The stadium swim experience is awesome, and you're going to have an extra $20,000 in your pocket for the college basketball championship experience. So listen for an hour each day to the Odyssey app, and that's your entry to win. Download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and you get your daily entry to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. So do that right now.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
I will be very curious. I'm going to dip in today on a couple of different cities here to see how they're reacting to the Super Bowl. The two that I'm thinking of off the top of my head, well, one of them, I was going to say L.A. and Denver. Who knows what they're talking about in L.A.? I don't even know if they like the Chargers in L.A. But Denver, for sure, obviously very passionate about the Denver Broncos. I do wonder, you know, and it's hard to be, you know, prisoner of the moment. It's one game. Chiefs got their ass kicked. But the fact of the matter is, Seth, that if you are a Chargers fan or a Denver Broncos fan, there's got to be a feeling of like, all right, man, we need to start seeing some dents in the armor here when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, because you're in the same division with them. You got to play them twice a year. You're never going to have a home play. There's probably a feeling like we're never going to play a home playoff game as long as we're in the same division as Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I wonder if not just that they lost, but the way in which they lost is engendering some optimism in each of those cities today.
Right, yeah, and that's where you have to be careful, because I'm aware of this, and I succumb to it as a Texans fan. It's that the Chiefs got bludgeoned and destroyed in the Super Bowl, and yet not a single damn team in the AFC could do a thing about it. They're still a very good football team. They weren't as dominant offensively, but they were very, very good defensively, and they were as good as they needed to be in the fourth quarter offensively. Like, I don't think Pat Mahomes has lost that ability all of a sudden because of one game.
Right.
All year long, that offense turned it on in the fourth quarter when it really mattered. So it was more of a display of, I think, the dominance of the Eagles and how good they are. But for our concerns, where we're going to face the Chiefs a lot more than the Eagles over the next few years.
Sure.
No, I don't think anything's changed. I think you can almost go back to the AFC, go back to the AFC championship game. And the biggest thing maybe is that Xavier Worthy is going to continue to get better, and you should be nervous about that. Defensively, it's hard to maintain defensive excellence year after year after year. It's really rare. And they're going to keep Spagnuolo. I don't think he gets another chance at a head coaching job. But to just perpetually think that, okay, yeah, sure, we're going to have more great pass rushers or we're going to have great defensive backs. It's just, it's not quite as simple. Even just like Justin Reed might leave this year in free agency.
Yeah.
So maybe amongst the top three teams, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs, that's where I think maybe the Chiefs showing signs of mortality matters more. But I think the Texans and the Chargers and some of the other teams, they still need to ascend to get up to that category of three.
Definitely on a different tier, for sure. Text message, can you comment on how the Texans are going to repair the offensive line? I think that's more than just a comment, probably. But
yeah, that's well, because people brought up earlier, like, okay, well, how do they go out and get an offensive line like that? For one, you draft really well. They only have one Eagles first-round pick on that offensive line, Lane Johnson. He's been there forever.
Oh, forever.
The rest of it is second-round picks. Mekhi Becton, who was not a marquee free agent and is playing a position, the guard is the one that he was not drafted to play.
Yep.
A lot of it just simply comes down to they're coached very, very well. Jeff Stoutland is an incredible offensive line coach. He gets them to play with detail, and they get the absolute most out of those guys. So part of it has to be, all right, the combination of Popovich, the new offensive line coach, who was the assistant offensive line coach last year, and Nick Caley, got to get the most of the guys who are there. And then, you know, by leaning into some of the things that were working for them at the end of the year and in the playoffs, I do think that I feel good about Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs and their potential at center.
Okay.
I think if they're on more of a power-based run scheme, I think that those guys can do some stuff. I don't think that there are matches for running an outside zone-based scheme. So, in Titus Howard at guard, I'm actually, if he really embraces the role and that's where they choose to use him, then it becomes, all right, can they be coached really well? Does the offensive coordinator know how to engineer a run game? And can Blake Fisher develop into a genuinely good right tackle?
Yeah, that is their highest investment in a position group. With the combination of cap dollars and draft capital, like, it's all first and second, rather than Jarrett Patterson, it's all first and second rounders. And the guys that are on second contracts are all largely on pretty expensive contracts. Even Shaq Mason is one of the higher paid guards. They, in some ways, Seth, it's pretty remarkable that they've made the postseason the last couple of years, especially this past season, as bad as the O-line was, given how much they have invested in it. When you have a group, a position group, that's underperforming that badly, and it's expensive, that they've been able to overcome it with so many other areas on both sides of the ball is pretty remarkable. You're not going to have that luxury in the next year or two, because there's going to be some guys, there's some bills coming due for the Texans.
Right,
Stingley and Will and CJ are the biggest three.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that's frustrating, because people will ask, like, why don't they invest in the offensive line? You're right to criticize the Texans for not having a good offensive line, but it's not because they haven't invested in it. They've invested heavily in it. Especially when you include the couple of first-round picks that they traded for Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
They've invested first and second-round picks. They've invested a lot of money. They were the fifth highest-paid offensive line in football last year.
Man.
So you criticize them for them investing poorly and developing poorly. Yeah. And I think it's a combination of those things. Kenyon Green, at this point, it's not looking good for his future. Yeah, it doesn't look like that was a good draft pick.
Yep.
Maybe shocks and surprises all of us. But you know, the other thing about Kenyon is, even if with good coaching they get the best out of him, man, he has been injured a lot. He's banged up every year. He was on the IR this year. He hasn't been healthy at all. So even if they get the best play out of him, I can't feel confident that he's going to stay healthy and be there for a long time.
Yeah, no, that's a fair concern. Somebody asking about the Hopkins audio we played earlier. If you missed it, here was DeAndre Hopkins after the loss in the Super Bowl last night.
You know, I saw a lot of things in the media about the refs, but obviously, what y'all going to say now about the refs and us when there was a lot of touchy calls? Are y'all going to report that? Are y'all going to talk about the refs now?
Okay, so
this is a thing. Oh, go ahead, Chad.
It was just a text message on that. Do y'all think Hopkins was saying that because he thought they weren't getting calls with the refs that they would normally get?
I don't think so, but in a way, he's asking you to, for one, he's asking you to co-sign his take that there were a lot of ticky-tack calls when there really weren't a lot of penalties in general.
No.
And a couple of them did go the Chiefs' way. Mm-hmm. The offsides that was revised to be a false start.
Yep.
So I don't think the officials were a huge part of the game. But then it is almost like he's unwittingly saying that, though.
Yeah.
Like oh, well, totally. There actually weren't a lot of ticky-tack calls, and you guys did get destroyed. So I feel like in saying that after a loss, you're not accomplishing what you think you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, the Eagles had 8 penalties. The Chiefs had 7 penalties. You know, the Chiefs were
about average for
a little more yardage. Right.
There's about 6.5 penalties per team in an NFL game.
There you go. So that's, that's interesting. Was he complaining that they weren't getting calls they would normally get? What I will say about that is not on DeAndre's side of the ball, but on the other side of the ball, is I was told by somebody who would know, who was in attendance in close proximity at the Texans' loss to the Chiefs, that the Chiefs' defensive backs were almost taunting Nico Collins out there about Nico was complaining to the officials about how handsy the Chiefs were getting, and they were like, "You're not getting that call."
Yeah,
they were like laughing at him, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
okay. So without realizing it, DeAndre might have been saying like, "Hey, usually we get these
that
calls
worked against the Bills." Hey,
no. So I think I agree with the texter. Whether DeAndre meant to say it that way or not,
right?
But yeah, like, hey, what's going on? There's these ticky-tack calls aren't going our way.
Man, F Chief fans, this is a text. The whole lot of them. now they're trying to play the sympathy card. Well, shove that card somewhere else, losers. Oh, all right, people are salty, man.
They are. It's at the end of the day, they still have won 3 Super Bowls recently.
Yeah.
I hated this about me because I was getting annoyed with myself that I was getting annoyed at. People kept saying they're going for a 3rd Super Bowl victory. Like, the announcers were saying that. I'm like, well, they've already got 3.
Yeah, they got 3.
They're going for a 3-peat.
Yeah.
It's still pretty damn impressive to get 3 Super Bowls in a how many year span?
In a 4-year span they won
in
3.
In a 4-year span, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's still pretty damn impressive.
No. They won 3 in a 5-year span.
In a 5-year
they
span,
went to
right.
4 in a 5-year span. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's the 2 things that are undebatable still, even after last night. And I'm bringing this up because we have a TV on in studio here where they are creating debate topics out of these things, as is their job to do on television. But it is inarguable that this is still a dynasty, this Chiefs, even with the loss last night. You go to 5 Super Bowls and win 3 of them in 7 years, and the 2 years you're not going to the Super Bowl, you're losing in the AFC title game. Then you're a dynasty. You're losing the divisional round. The other thing is, like, I'm seeing this, like, is Mahomes still in the GOAT conversation? What are we doing? Like, you don't go in 60 minutes, you don't go from being right there with Tom Brady to being out of the argument altogether.
He's 100% in it, but it's a reminder to everybody that you don't just get to draw a line on the graph
right. And
that it's ever ascending at a perfectly straight angle. It's going to be really, really hard. Yes, it's impressive that he won 3 Super Bowls before the age of 30. But now he's off that pace a little bit to be better than Tom Brady. 7 Super Bowl victories is a whole lot of Super Bowl victories.
A lot, man.
It's not so simple. And that it's funny to me how you interpret body language differently. I was watching Jalen Hurts on the sideline, and I'm thinking about how, like, last year this time, or at least a few weeks, a year and a couple weeks ago, in the playoffs, people were looking at Jalen Hurts on the sideline and thinking like, oh, he just looks emotionally checked out. This year, in a blowout victory, I'm watching him on the sideline. I'm like, it's the exact same face.
He looks the same.
Exact same. But meanwhile, Andy Reid, Mr. Calm, Cool, and Collected, given any other time they were down by 10 and Andy Reid just had his same kind of blank facial expression staring at the field,
that
you're like, wow, yeah, he's not panicking a bit. This game I'm watching, I'm like, oh, that old man, he needs to hang it up. Yeah, he doesn't. Look at him. He's got no answers.
Yeah.
He's confused. Doesn't even know where he is.
It's true. It's true. Oh, man. Real quick, before we bring in John and Reggie, someone weighing in on the text page, Seth, wondering if you're still as in on Trey Smith last night as you were before the game.
Oh, you know what? I'll have to go back and watch a little bit with a finer tooth comb through all of it. They were given They were trying to double team Jalen Carter a whole lot. And Jalen Carter is just freaking awesome.
Yeah,
let's talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
My guard rankings.
Got it.
Nothing gets Houstonians fired up more than talking about
that is some sexy stuff.
People with high BMIs.
Yeah. Big time, big time. Reggie Adatula, John Lopez, fellas, how are we?
The game in its essence is about blocking and tackling. You're not wrong.
X's and O's. Let's have a fun 4 hours. You got right. Mr. X's and O's.
I'm out.
I did not X's and O's. I will be with Seth later on today, like rewatching the All 22 to get a better feel.
There you go.
Hey, look, I did. Listen, you guys will have 4 hours to talk about the Super Bowl. I was off of Twitter for the most part since I left New Orleans. I see that I was third on the roommate ranking.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Which is cool. I can be happy with a bronze for now.
Yeah.
For now? Okay. I feel like we're adjusting.
I see that Figgy won the roommate ranking.
Correct.
I'm curious how Clint got second overall.
All right. So Clint is... What is happening over here?
Yeah. What's going on, John?
Sorry. John hasn't been in studio long enough to where he is breaking things. All right. So... I also got a text from your co-host here.
Yes.
Earlier on in the weekend, so I figured that I would have to address this. Clint, understandable, he had a couple of pretty big mess ups with you in particular, with the parking thing.
Yeah. And with the frying pan.
Yes, and the frying pan. That is
Seth,
fair.
Seth had to clean up the frying pan.
You are right.
I had to clean up the parking pass twice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pangate and Passgate were completely ignored on the Adatula rankings.
It wasn't. I feel like we just
second. What are you talking about? It wasn't.
We have to appreciate that Clint had he put a lot of stuff in. Like his pro con list was just really long all the way
around.
Lay it
on me. Yeah, let's go. Just give me the synopsis of the pros other than he fed you.
He drove as well.
You,
okay. Yeah.
Which was outside of the
these are your rankings, necessity. I guess. If I had my rankings, he would have been lower, I suppose.
Those things.
He bought
groceries to begin the week as well. I know that there was a few people that brought groceries, but I didn't want to forget that.
He did bring wine.
He bought wine.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point, right?
Yeah,
there.
So there was a he did a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's a lot of positives and negatives, and how heavily do I weigh various things?
Right.
I feel like we should just next time I've already decided that instead of doing this solely, so I don't get these confrontations. I think next year what I'm going to do is we're going to do ranked choice voting. I'm going to actually create a ballot for the end of the week.
Yeah.
And then we'll compile it, and then we'll come together with the list.
The one thing I'd say is it reminded me of college in a way. It's that I do think that the underappreciated element is that the guys with cars, like, they did have a lot of pressure on them. And driving in not fun driving conditions.
Nope.
The Clint and Sean drove us around a lot. And that does that does carry a lot of weight. That's
Lopez,
not an
how
easy
often
or
did, you drove us to dinner once.
I drove you to dinner. I drove you to and from New Orleans.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. You got
I bought
your
you donuts on the way home.
Well, nobody asked for that.
We can hear the bottom line is, and Reggie, I'm sorry, I jumped all over you.
No,
that's
all right.
You can't even get your explanation
I understood
out there.
This.
Yeah, that's my apologies.
Sean was fifth, everybody.
Yeah, I was fifth, so I'm cemented there, so I can yell at you all I want.
That's fair.
The rankings are final. But I think the overall feeling is we got a pretty good group of guys. You know,
absolutely.
What I mean?
It was tough.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think I had B. Scott ninth, and that felt like an atrocity in itself.
B. Scott is ninth. Well, he didn't get enough at bats. He didn't show up till like Tuesday, right? Monday.
Yeah, he showed up in the middle of Monday.
Yeah.
And he had a little bit of isolation to him.
Can I ask what my cons were? I didn't get to hear the segment. What put me down at five?
Oh goodness, because I think I've already deleted some of my.
Somebody told me I was out this weekend and heard the rankings. Listener and said that. Reggie said that you didn't clean, Sean.
Yeah, you didn't.
That's not true. Seth Witt, you just weren't up to see it. Seth was up, and Seth witnessed me at least on Monday morning and maybe Tuesday. Remember I was picking things up after the first night, Seth,
okay.
throwing them
yeah,
away?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I was tidying the place up.
Okay, see, and this is the flaw in having a singular person
who's asleep while I'm doing
exactly.
this.
Exactly, absolutely. So next year I will absolutely crowdsource this a little better.
I'll video myself cleaning next
year. That's right. Yeah, you need to document
the
all
cleaning is a
get a video.
Well, that's the other thing that people don't appreciate is like the people that don't care about the cleaning don't even notice the people who are cleaning.
Yeah,
like that's or you're doing it when you're by yourself at a certain point. Yeah.
Somewhere Amy is nodding her head right now. Like, exactly.
Also, a text makes a good point when it comes back to the Clint thing. He did have the pan thing. hearing his side of the story, he did try and soak it. And I do recall that those pans were not like particularly very good. So
no,
I
they
imagine
were not.
That they lent themselves.
No, they were not.
I'll let Seth comment on that. He's the one that
it was
up that
okay.
Mess.
This is the problem, though. And he did. By the end of the week, he figured it out. The problem was that I searched the house all over looking for the steel wool finally to get the pan clean. And I cleaned it. And it was easy once I found the steel wool.
Mm-hmm.
Then that day I came home and there the pan was dirty with the steel wool right next to it. That was what did it for
I
me.
I feel
yeah.
like Peyton Pendergast got disrespected in this ranking a little bit.
It's possible. There's an avenue for formal
hostage.
Complaint, by the way.
Oh, there is?
Yes, there is.
I thought I just did.
I'll send you the paperwork.
Okay, good.
But Clint, to his credit, learned how to do it, not just cook it properly, but also to clean the pan up. So
yes.
For coachability, I can negate the dirty pants.
For what it's worth, my vote would have gone to John Lopez.
Thank you.
Based solely on the dinner that he prepared for all of us on Sunday.
Thank you. It's much appreciated.
Amazing.
And I cleaned and I drove.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. But I didn't expect to be first because it would have looked like it was rigged.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did have a little bit of an issue with who did finish first.
I thought
that's hate, man.
No, it's
that
not
sound
hate.
Like hate.
I'm an objective guy.
You and Clint as well. Clint
Let's
also
think
had
about
some
this.
Had some
Let's
objection.
Think about this.
Figgy, he must not be on social media a lot,
this
man.
If this were about work, Figgy is number one by a mile.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This was
week.
About roommates.
Yeah.
So basically, Figgy got number one because he did his job. And he brought his wife's.
I did my job to the best of his ability.
No.
Though.
If this was about work,
everybody did their job.
If this was about work, Figgy was number one by a mile.
Right.
But if it's about roommates, he did his job. He got number one because he did his job.
Wow.
And he said, "Sure, I'll take that to the guys." His wife made the dip. And delivered in my car.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you get credit for the dip.
I feel like I'm going to have to
see this
we're going to have to have a 2.0. Just like mock drafts. I'm going to have to
hate right there.
Redo this.
You can hear it in his voice, man.
Honestly, what's funny is I thought picking Figgy would be the least objectionable portion.
Well, it is because everybody
and Lopez
Figgy.
Tried to discredit the dip because I had that dip to be made on Sunday night.
Yeah,
and he just moved my dip to the side for his meal.
No. I was highlighting,
and he said, "No, we can have this later." This week.
I was this is 4 hours of show.
I was highlighting the dip. I wanted to get you.
It was
all
supposed
your props.
To be the appetizer.
Or more precisely, Christina, I wanted to get your wife.
He took
all
it.
Her
he
props.
Put it in the back of the refrigerator.
Christina didn't even want to make the dip. You had to badger her into it.
That's right.
So, that's why they had marital discord because he sacrificed for you.
There are people waiting for y'all's hot
dip
takes
talk.
On the Super Bowl.
This is it.
Look what you created, Rich. The roomie rankings are a great gimmick, though.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. You created it by campaigning, I think.
I augmented it.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. We're done. We're out of time. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies. And the other thing I would say about Figgy is that he's got such a positive and cheerful demeanor that it increases the whole vibe of the household.
That's right. He taught you about watching video
facts.
Games and such.
Yeah.
That's right. I learned the appeal of watching people stream video games. Because, and I almost cried in watching
Moved
a video
to
game.
Moved to tears, Sean.
Yes.
All right. We're done. We're out of time.
Are you?